WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday. It's football. We're playing Fortnite
there is
later.
Football.
We're playing Fortnite later. We got a
PL
later.
Wait, who is it?
It's 2018 all over again. Or is it 2019? No, it's 2019. 2020?
It's 2019. No, it's 20? Not 20.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, I think we're at 2020 now.
Are we?
I think.
2020. The COVID years.
I think we've hit 2020. Fortnite Chapter 2 Season 2. When did that start? Yep, 2020. We're in 2020. Because we have the Grotto now in Fortnite Battle Royale. But we'll talk about that later. We're playing Reload. We're playing the other map, too, later. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lindsay Ward, come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live. We're going to talk about WWE Crown Jewel, which took this past Saturday on the networks.
We're going to let you know who won, who lost, and our thoughts on it because, well, we have some opinions, good and bad. But we'll talk about it later in the show. We're gonna jump right into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And we're going to lead with some not so happy news. I'm not terribly shocked by this, but I'm still sad about it all the same. Baron Corbin, Indy Hartwell, and Tegan Knox are all gone from WWE. I believe they were not renewed. I'm not sure if they were released or not.
It's a weird structure how that goes. I don't think they were officially like let go, I think, because Tegan is doing shows in a month, so she's not under a 90-day. She's going to Europe and doing shows in December. I think Baron Corbin, they could not come to a new deal, and he's gone. And I guess same with Indy Hartwell, kind of, they weren't renewing her contract. The only one I'm surprised by is Indy, because I thought she was going to stick around in the tag division, but I guess that kind of is like, okay, well, couldn't come to an agreement, and here we are. They haven't been using Tegan. Hunter tried, but she would get hurt, and it just, things never got going again. It's a lot, there was a lot of stop and go.
I was going to say, it felt like every time they got something going with her, she would get injured or something else would happen and they'd have to take her off TV again.
Yeah, so, but she's healthy now. She's been healthy for a while, but once you go stop and go for so long, it's hard to get the engine going a third and a fourth or fifth time. But they tried. Hunter brought her back when he came back, and I don't know, she got a couple more years in WWE, another more WWE money, so that's always good. Corbin, I guess, you know, couldn't figure it out.
Corbin was one of those really weird talents that they had something with him. You could tell they had something with him, but they could never really figure out the formula for him once he went up to the main roster. Like, they booked him correctly in NXT and they wrote him correctly in NXT. It didn't have a lot of legs, which you could have evolved it. But when they moved him to the main roster, they just could not find really a good fit for him as a wrestler. I think the best use of him they ever had was the authority stuff, where he was the authority figure. I thought he was really, really good in that because he has a really, really good on-camera presence. He has a really good personality for on-camera. He's a good talker. Like, he has all of it. It's like, for whatever reason, when he's in the ring, it just doesn't connect or doesn't work. But like, he was really good in the authority figure character because I know what it is. He comes off as a really good dick. Like, he's just an asshole. And he comes off as such. And he's really good at it. And I mean that as a compliment. I mean that sincerely as a compliment. Like, he just makes a really good heel. He's just an asshole. And he just, that's how he was connecting with people. And so it's like, I enjoyed him when he was in the authority figure. The Happy Corbin stuff was actually very good, where they had him lose everything and like you actually felt sorry for him because you're like, oh, buddy. And then when he got everything back, he just became that asshole again that you wanted to punch in the face, which was really good. Like, I thought all of that, like that period for him was probably his best stuff. But once that all went away, like they just could not get anything going for him.
I mean, he got something back in NXT, the last run he had with being, you know, creatively with Sean, he got another resurgence. But yeah, and then he got caught up in the main roster, and there's just too many numbers in his way. And if he's not going to be used and doesn't want to be a, like, I know what's weird is he filmed stuff for Netflix for them like a week before he got released. So
I mean, he's got other stuff going, and I wouldn't see, for the thing for me was like, I'm surprised they didn't like do other ventures with him and other crossovers for him, because like he has a whole thing on his Instagram where it's like his cooking stuff, and he shows his like barbecues and his like all his kitchen stuff. Like, he basically, I don't want to call it a cooking show, but that's not accurate, but he demonstrates and shows how he cooks, and that's what he does on social media. And it's like, you could have something with that, because he actually does have something going with it. And like, just the whole lifestyle stuff that he does, it's like, that's another avenue for him that if you wanted to go there with him, you could, especially with the deal with Netflix, where it's like, well, you know, you have specific properties that work with Netflix in terms of like the Great British Bake Off and some other stuff that you could do potential crossovers with if you wanted. But I guess they didn't want to go there. I don't know. I mean, they could have given him his own cooking show.
I mean, they could have. But as always, as we've seen, the door is never closed.
I think if he figures it out, I think if he wants to come back to wrestling, he'll do it. But I don't even know if he wants to come back to wrestling.
I meant for all three. The door is always open for them to...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he still wants to continue, he can go to... I wouldn't be surprised if all of them ended up in TNA.
It would be a good place for Indy, for sure. I don't know about Tegan.
No, I think Tegan would work well there too.
I could just see Tegan going to Tony.
No.
No?
No. She would get more of a spotlight in TNA.
But I think, yeah, Indy would be a good fit for TNA. Indy's just unfortunate because I think for her, like, she had some momentum when she came up. Like, she was really popular. And then it was either her or it was, like, Candace. Or actually, no, she got stuck on the elevator, didn't she?
Who? Tegan?
Tegan? No, Indy.
Indy? I mean, yeah, she was on the elevator for a bit.
Like, they were, she did all the Dexter Lumis stuff and she was, like, super fucking over. And they were going to bring her up, and then all, like, the changes happened, and she just kind of got lost in the shuffle for a while, and then they finally brought her up, and then her momentum died, but they brought Johnny and Candace up, or in, or back, or whatever.
They brought them back.
And yeah. Put her with them, and they brought Dexter up, and that, like, helped her. But she could kind of, she was kind of another one that they could never really get her mojo going on the main roster. You had like hints of it here and there, but like they just could never get it going. And she's another one that just unfortunately got caught by the changes. And I think that's a lot of people where it's just like either it's either injuries or changes that happened or, you know, what have you, where it's just like they had a plan. It was a good plan. And then the plan just got thrown out kind of thing. So hopefully they find success wherever they go.
Indeed.
WWE's Road to WrestleMania is headed overseas. A total of 3 Raws and 3 SmackDowns will be held across Europe, with the March 14th SmackDown in Barcelona, Spain, March 17th Raw in Brussels, Belgium, the March 21st SmackDown in Bologna, Italy, the March 24th Raw in Glasgow, Scotland, and the March 28th SmackDown and the March 31st Raw both in London. Tickets to go on sale soon.
Tickets go on sale shortly, and there'll be a variety of other live event dates, as it's a bunch of different cities in 18 days or something like that. They're going to be overseas. A couple notes. Kind of teased it on Monday. I assume John Cena will be a part of a couple of these. I don't know if it'll be on all the shows, but I think he'll make a couple of the shows on the road to WrestleMania because he's going to be around. And I would assume he's at least on the London shows, maybe one in the beginning as well. Who knows what his schedule holds, but he's not doing the tour. He'll be on a couple of shows.
Yeah. You have him go over to Europe and say goodbye.
Yeah. And I tweeted this out yesterday, and it's interesting. It got people started mentioning it today, but I wouldn't be surprised. And I said, mark this down. Wouldn't be surprised when we have Raw in overseas in Belgium and Scotland and London, they're live. I wouldn't be surprised that afternoon Raw is a thing.
That's going to fuck up the post show.
I mean, we would do it again. We can watch it later and, you know.
Yeah. Do it at
night. But I'm just saying. We would.
That will fuck up the post show.
We would figure out a nighttime time to do the post show. I think it would still re-air at like the normal time. But I would think it would be live in the afternoon. Because it just makes sense because Netflix is worldwide. So instead of having spoilers be a thing, you can watch it anytime at any point. It would make the most sense.
Yeah. We'll see, though.
But that, and it was being speculated about today. But I was like, I tweeted it. Like, it was just a thought. I kept looking at the schedule. Like, they could be live.
This, everybody, is where Rock admits he is the mole.
No. Anyway, moving on.
Because he knows things.
It's not that it's knowing. It's just, you just look at things and you just speculate. And you look at it and go,
Yeah. Rock's an insider, everybody.
Totally. Sure. Whatever you say. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Rock's an insider. He's on the inside.
He knows what's up. For more insider secrets, make sure you hit that purple rectangular button below the screen and subscribe. Ding.
For anybody that's interested in this next story, and I'm sure people are, I don't mean to mock or laugh at it, but for those that are interested, in no shock to anybody, based on his previous appearance, WWE has announced that Bill Goldberg will get to retire in 2025. They're going to do a match for him. His opponent has not been selected. The show has not been selected. I mean, he could just retire and, you know, come out, wave his little hat and leave. We would all be fine with that. But, you know, no, we have to have a match with somebody. Don't let it be Uncle Howdy. I swear to fuck. Not let it be Uncle Howdy.
No, it's Gunther. That's the match. At some point.
Well, let's hope Bill goes out on his back. Because if they have Goldberg pin fucking Gunther.
No, you could do this either two ways. You could have Bill Goldberg come back for one match where he beats a mid-carder like Austin Theory and gets a win.
Or Austin Theory. Oh, yeah. I was thinking Austin Aries for a second anyway. I'm sorry, go on.
No, like Austin Theory. You give him Bill Goldberg to Austin Theory. Theory takes some spears and Jackhammer, and Goldberg gets to celebrate on his way out. Or he goes on his back out on his back against Gunther. Depends what they consider, what he's physically able to do, and they figure will be the best story. But he talked to Nick Khan and Hunter and everyone, and like, okay, can we do a match? Yeah, we can figure it out. And they're all about making big spectacles. It could be, if it's on a PLE, it'll be a featured match. It could be a featured match on Netflix, because we talked about it before. You could build a whole Netflix show around it, like an episode about it. So we'll see.
I mean, I don't think they were going to say no, because there's money in it. Like, there's enough money in it that they're going to recoup, or they believe they will recoup the investment because they can get a certain amount of fundage out of it. So I see the merit in it. Like, I understand it. And Goldberg's been out here bitching for years that Vince screwed him out of his retirement match. He wants his one last showing.
Right. And if you're smart, you do it in a period of time where Cena's not around.
Yeah, you do it post-Mania. Do it at SummerSlam. Fuck.
Well, Cena's still going to be around after that. But, like, there may be a PLE that Cena can't do.
I anticipate Cena being at the Big Four next year.
I think he's on all of the... Because there's only 11 now. 10, 11. I think the only ones Cena doesn't do are Crown Jewels. Or the Saudi.
Well,
Shows.
You could do Goldberg's retirement at Crown Jewel.
Well, or whatever. You could, but we'll see. But I would plan on, like, if build a Raw around it, and like the 3 weeks Cena's not going to be around, I would put Goldberg on it and go from there.
Yeah. Ooh, you could have John Cena and Goldberg just, you know, trade, and they just retire each other.
No. Anyway, okay. What else we got?
NXT's next PLE is Deadline. It will take place on Saturday, December 7th from Minneapolis. Tickets should already be on sale.
They go on sale next week.
Okay. All right. There you go. So go get your tickets. Go see.
Because they announced it last night on NXT.
Got it. Wait, and speaking of tickets, huh?
Which, by the way, NXT on top?
Speaking of tickets going on sale, as we move in to talk about AEW, if you guys want to go to All In Texas, the tickets go on sale December 9th, and VIP packages are available starting November 20th. So go check your local ticket providers for that if you would like to go to All In. I thought they already had All In.
No, this is for next year's All. This is for the one in Texas July. They start selling tickets very. This is their mania, so they start selling tickets early.
Well, that's fine. I was like, didn't they already have All In? Like, didn't they already do it?
Yeah, All In London has happened. All In Texas next summer, tickets go on sale. Go to AEWTix.com for more.
And last but not least, in terms of the regular news, big congratulations to Mandy Rose and Tino Sabatelli. They have gotten married. So many happy wishes, many happy returns for your marriage. May be blessed.
Indeed.
Lane Brents?
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Carl Anderson has torn his rotator cuff tendon.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He also partially tore his labrum.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Get two, since there's two out of it.
Yeah, it happened a couple months ago, and he said it didn't feel right, and then he rolled again, and it didn't feel right a second time. So he had surgery this past week, and he should be back after WrestleMania.
Y'all, if it doesn't feel right, go to the doctor. And I say that more for myself than anybody else, but if it doesn't feel right, go to the damn doctor. Just go.
You're a wrestler. They just rub some salt on it. It's fine. Some dirt. It's fine. You're good.
Dude, you don't mess with a torn rotator cuff, okay? You just don't.
Sometimes aches and pains, you don't know, realize it, and then it doesn't feel right, and then you go see the doctor, which he did. And now he had to go under surgery and get it, you know, it all cleaned
out.
Is he still under contract? Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't say anything sooner.
I mean, I think he told them really quick when it happened. But he's out for about 9 months, so it's kind of a thing that happened. So the full quote was, "It happened 2 months ago. I felt something in the match and didn't think any of it because that's what we do. The next week, something else happened in the match again that hurt a little worse, but still thought nothing of it because that's how we always rolled. We had 3 or 4 matches, and each other progressively, I realized this thing hurts, and I wasn't able to sleep at night because it was aching and throbbing. Let me tell somebody. I talked to the WWE doctors who handled it right away, and immediately scheduled me for an arthrogram. They immediately saw a torn right cuff, a tendon, and partially torn labrum. So, yep, that's what happened.
What is an arthrogram?
I don't know.
Arthrogram. It's a medical imaging procedure that uses a contrast dye and x-ray. Oh, he had to drink the nasty liquid stuff. Oh, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's contrast dye and x-ray, CT scans, MRIs, or ultrasounds to produce images of a joint and help diagnose problems. Yeah, they give you this really nasty shit that you have to drink, like, because I've had one before, that you have to drink, like, till you explode, basically. And the one that I had to drink is banana. I don't know if there are other flavors, but that shit, after about the third one, you want to hurl. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. Because they just keep bringing it to you, and they keep filling you with it until your entire body is dyed.
Ew.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound fun.
No, it's not fun. It was gross. And then I was like, you know, we could just do it. And they're like, no, we have to wait. And it sucked. Anyway, let's go to break. So when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Crown Jewel and letting you know who won and who lost. So you're listening to The Rack right here on BallTechRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's The Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Now at 10 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Yeah. This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are going to jump in and talk all about Crown Jewel. I can talk with this, which was this past Saturday on the Peacocks here in the US and the WWE networks elsewhere. This was an interesting show.
What do you mean by that?
I thought overall it was a good show. Like, it was an entertaining show. I thought the matches were, most of them were fairly good. There were some hiccups here and there. But some of this was not as good as I thought it was going to be. I also have an I told you so.
So let's talk about the I told you so. Because, yeah, the match did not actually... So finally, after 17 years, match actually did not start.
Did I not say, like, I was sitting here watching it, and I was like, did I not goddamn say on Thursday?
But
what if the match doesn't happen?
But to be fair, you say that, like, at least once a pay-per-view, premium live event.
Yeah, but a broken clock is at least right twice a day. Give me this. Let me have this, goddamn it.
I'm just saying, it happens. So what we're talking about was supposed to be Randy Orton and Kevin Owens having a match. It did not actually happen. They beat the crap out of each other like it's a match, but they never got the bell ringing. Adam Pearce ended up eating an RKO at one point.
Which is
smart. Do it on the general manager you don't work for. But yeah, they sold it like a brawl. It worked. We'll get to a match eventually. Maybe Survivor Series, maybe on a SmackDown, who knows. But I thought the brawl was good for the what it was.
For what they're doing with Kevin's character, where he's a little paranoid, he's a little weirded out right now, he's not quite all there. I think it worked. Because he doesn't trust Randy. He doesn't trust the establishment that is WWE, because he doesn't know if that's going to go in his favor, because Randy, you know, made the challenge through Hunter. Randy demanded the match and got the match through Hunter, and, you know, they're BFFs, so Kevin's not going to trust that. He knows better than to trust those two together. So I thought it was really smart to do it that way. I really liked how they did it, and I thought the brawl was better than any match we would have gotten, because I think I also said on Thursday, it's like I was kind of surprised there wasn't a stipulation on this. So I felt like it was a really good way to get around not having any kind of like actual stipulation. It's like, well, we're just not going to have a match. We're just going to fight. We're just going to beat the ever living crap out of each other. We're going to beat up Adam Pearce for funsies, because why not? And we're going to send the crowd home happy with it. And I thought it was a really effective segment overall. Because it just, again, as you know, as I say a thousand times, people that can't keep their hands off each other in a fighting sense in terms of wrestling, and it's, well, you know, it sells it better than it's, well, we're going to have a match and we're going to be completely civilized about this. No. Especially for Kevin. That doesn't necessarily work.
Yeah.
So I thought this was really well done. It was really well executed. The fact that they carried Randy out in a cart because he couldn't walk afterwards. Like, Kevin beat him up so bad they had to get the cart. That was a great visual.
Yeah, it worked. I thought everything with that worked.
But I fucking told you so. I fucking told y'all so.
For the first time, she got that one right.
I got my wrestler 3, goddammit.
There you go. All right, let's get into some of the actual matches that took place on this show.
So let's talk about with what opened.
Okay.
The Bloodline new bloodline, I should say, Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and Tama Tonga with Tonga Loa took on Roman Reigns and the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, respectively. This was a match.
Yeah, it was a solid match.
It picked up at the end.
The match picked up, but the story with the distrust was there between Jay and Roman throughout, and that them kind of feeling each other out, where when Jay would tag Jimmy instead of Roman asking for the tag, Jay's like, no, tag it Jimmy. And Jimmy's trying to get them on the same page. And they eventually would get on the same page somewhat. But yeah, the match wasn't the blowaway match, because you're waiting for the blowaway match. The War Games will be the blowaway.
Oh yeah.
But it was a nice featured match. It told the story, and I mentioned this on Sunday when Solo pinned Roman. He also did it the same way he pinned John Cena a year ago at Crown Jewel. So he's Roman and John Cena, two big victories on the same show with multiple Samoan spikes to get the win. But what really this whole thing was about was the story. It told the story of the OGs getting back together, someone trying to get them on the same page. But it also told a story. The current bloodline has the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they started to beat down Roman Reigns and Jimmy and then Jay, Sami Zayn returned to help out the OGs, his old running buddies. And they had Solo surrounded. And then accidentally, Sami hit Roman.
Yeah, so I want to get into really quick, before we talk about the ending, just the Jay distrust stuff of Roman. I thought that was really, really, really good storytelling. I thought that was very smart because, again, it should be there. Jay and Roman had an explosive ending to cap off an explosive partnership where there was just nothing good that came out of that beyond Jay's solo run. Like, Jay got excommunicated from the bloodline. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost everything, right? After that all happened, and it was all because of Roman. Because Roman forced him to join the bloodline originally. I'm never going to let that go. Y'all are just going to have to deal with it. But Roman forced him to join the bloodline. Roman abused him and used him for years. Sometimes willingly, sometimes not willingly. And then in the end, it all just disintegrated and Jay lost everything. So Jay has been working very hard to build his own identity and rebuild his life outside of his family, outside of the bloodline, outside of everything. So yeah, if you're Jey Uso and all of a sudden, you know, Roman Reigns shows up, it's kind of like, hold the phone here a second. Let's talk about this. Because I'm just not going to full on trust you after everything Roman did. I'm just not going to put that faith in you. You need to earn my trust. You need to earn my respect. You need to earn my faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really, really, really good storytelling, because they shouldn't be there yet. Roman's still in that we're going to feel each other out, as you said, phase, where it's like, okay, all right. So none of this ended well. We all don't really like each other. We're here mainly to deal with Solo and his BS, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're here to do. But, you know, we haven't figured out how to work as a team again. And Jimmy and Jay aren't necessarily going to allow Roman to step up and just be the leader again, even though that's Roman's natural inclination. It's, yeah, no, we're not doing this whole tribal chief, we bow to you bullshit. We're not doing that again. This is them all coming into this as equals, or them expecting to all be equals. So I thought that was really, really subtle storytelling. And then on the new bloodline sign, you had, I think it was Jacob Fatu, that was screaming like, I love you, Solo, which is something he's been doing for a while, but just the fanaticism.
Yeah. That's his thing.
And him holding his hands and like prayer. Like, it's just, it's that kind of just really subtle stuff I appreciate. But yeah, then we threw the ginger into the mix. We threw Sami in. And we all know how everybody feels about Sami. Which is differently, because everybody feels differently about Sami in that group. Like, I forget who it was on Sunday, but they mentioned that Solo always liked Sami. Like, Solo was always chill with Sami.
Yeah. He was.
To a point. Like, Solo, like, I think Solo saw the hustle, and he was like, nah, man, I'm gonna let this go. I respect this. Like, Jimmy and Jay were always the ones that were very against Sami, and then Jimmy kind of accepted Sami, and then we obviously know the story between Sami and Jay. So it was a really nice fake out with Sami, where, you know, they've been teasing, well, is he going to join Solo, or is he going to join Roman, or like, what's going to happen? And, you know, so Sami comes out and Solo's like, yes, My brother, you're going to join us. And he holds out his arms ready for his hug. He's like, yes, join us, my brother, join us. And then Sammy just freaking superplexes him. And it was great. And it was like, yes, good job. And there was the accident. He did accidentally run into somebody. We can't forget Roman. That. Roman. But, you know, it was deserved because it's Roman. I don't think Sammy can kick Roman in the face enough. Because reasons, because of what their whole, like, I just feel like Roman's the problem. Roman's the trauma. It's all Roman's fault.
Maybe.
But you had Sammy walk out and, you know, help Jay, and he came out on Monday, and that's what he said, is like, I was there for one person. I was there for Jay.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah, there we go. There it is. Cause they've had their ups and their downs. And I think they ended on a solid note.
We'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, this was all really good storytelling. The match was what it was. Like, it was a solid opener. It was a good opener. It was not the barn burner that I think we all wanted it to be. But then again, we can save the barn burner for later, too. That's fine.
Yeah.
So up next, we have Bianca and Jade, your women's tag team champions, defending against Damage Control, Metaphor, and Chelsea Green and Piper Niven.
I enjoyed this. I thought this was a lot of fun. I liked how all four women teams got to showcase somewhat. They got, especially at the end, they got some featured spots. I thought Io and Bianca early was really well done. Io is on another level.
God, she's just on fire right now. She's like just hitting all cylinders. It's so good.
I thought the power by Jakara and Lash was really impressive at the end. A couple big moves they did. I thought that was good. Overall, I enjoyed this match. Chelsea was the standout, as always. Her selling the stuff with after getting hit by Piper was good. Overall, this was the match you thought it was going to be. It delivered in its spot. And yeah, the champs retained.
Which I wasn't super surprised by. I mean, I think that's the right call because you can just continue to build Damage Control. You also had the little tease between Jade and Lash where eventually you're going to go there with that. And that was a nice little tease. But yeah, this was a good mix of women. Love the representation in this. I love that everybody got a spotlight. And the crowd seemed to enjoy it. So overall, good job.
Yeah, the crowd was hot for the women on this show, which was very impressive. All the way through.
But when you bring badass chicks, that's what happens.
I mean, that's what happens.
That's all I'm going to say. You bring a bunch of badasses and they're going to be happy.
Exactly.
Up next, we have Seth freaking Rollins taking on Bronson Reed.
I was worried at the start that it was just going to be a quick, let's everyone hit our finish sort of type of match. Because that's the way Rollins matches have gone lately. It was the one how he worked with Drew at WrestleMania. Where, like, you hit the finish, you go quick and you go fast. It turned out to a solid match. I'm still annoyed that Rollins won. I thought Bronson needed the win. And I know he did the thing where he cost him after on Raw and he got back up. I still think they made the wrong decision. Bronson should have won that match. I feel like Seth having something to prove to overcome the monster would have been the bigger play at the end. Whenever the story finishes, but I think Bronson needed the win, and I think that was a bad call. I thought that's just my opinion. The super stomp was good, all the tsunami stuff was great, but I think it was the wrong outcome.
Like, the physicality in the match was really good. Seth and Bronson meshed really well. It met those expectations, but I'm gonna echo Rock on this. Seth doesn't necessarily need the win. And he's always better when he's chasing something, whether it be a title or whether it be a heel or a face or whomever. Seth is always best when he's chasing. And in this instance, like, him chasing Bronson to, as you said, prove something would have been more than just Seth beating Bronson clean. Because I feel like Bronson just needed it more, but also it reminded me of Bray. Because I have to work Bray into every conversation. But it reminded me of Bray and how they booked him in the beginning, pre-Fiend. Where you would have this really good build, this really good feud with him. You'd have this wonderful build-up with him. You know, you'd sell the match, hook, line, and sinker, and then you'd send Bray in. And he couldn't get the job done, right? Like, he couldn't get it done, no matter who he fought.
And then he would get the second win.
And then he would get the second win. And it just didn't mean as much. And so I hope they're not going to do that to Bronson. Because it's really, really, really hard to by a monster character when the monster can't beat its prey, if that makes sense. Like, it should be a struggle if it's a monster character. That's the whole point. Like, Seth beating Bronson clean in the middle of the ring without any kind of, like, real assistance is more or less the end of the feud. It's like, it's Seth prove what he needs to prove. He can beat Bronson, and he can do it clean. Like, after weeks of them beating the crap out of each other, and after six tsunamis or whatever, like, after all these things that have happened, Seth overcomes the monster. He beats the bad guy, and he's victorious, and he walks out victorious, right? That's it. That's the story. Game over. Feud over. We don't need it anymore. It's kind of sort of like, well, he beat you once. He can do it again.
He could do it again, yeah.
Like, you know, why are we still doing this? The point's been made. He beat you. Move on. Go to somebody else. So, like, I think it would have done more for Bronson if he had won. We'll see where they go and where they take this, because I am at least hoping they will take this in a good direction. But yeah, like, I'm willing to give them a buy on this, because this is kind of the first time they do this. But if this becomes a pattern with Bronson, then Bronson's going to go the way with Bray. Nobody's going to believe him, and nobody's going to be afraid of him. And when you have a monster character, that's a problem.
Yep.
Like, everybody should be freaking terrified of Bronson Reed and what he can do. Like, they should see him coming down the hall and they turn around and they walk the other way. Or they hide in a closet or something. Like, that should be the reaction to Bronson Reed. But if he can't even beat Seth Rollins, then that's a problem.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have the inaugural match for the Women's Crown Jewel Championship, the big blingy belt. Liv Morgan, your Raw Women's Champion, took on Nia Jax, your SmackDown's Women's Champion, for the title. This was better than I thought this was going to be.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't blow away, but it was fine.
You had Liv a lot more on the offense. She was much more aggressive than she generally is.
Yeah, she made it work. She took the stuff from Nia, and you had a lot of interference stuff with Dominic and Raquel. You had some, and Tiffany. She had enough bells and whistles to sort of keep the crowd interested, especially with two heels in the ring. You're able to keep moving that along. But it's fine.
And they kept this short.
Yeah.
Like, this was under 10 minutes. They kept this short. So, good for them.
Good for them. But Liv got the win. You had Dom with a distraction, and Raquel hit Nia, and then Nia sold the Oblivion really well. So it was a solid match. Liv is going to be, you know, Liv with her cackling and everything. She got the ring. It served its purpose. I thought they were going to give it to Nia, but Liv was fine. It works. Her heel persona can rub it in people's faces for a long time.
The one thing that I'm happy about, and this is kind of wrong, is that the title stays in Saudi Arabia. That they get to keep that. They pay for it, so they get to keep it. And so Liv will not be walking around with this giant, and I do mean giant, title. Like, they had her hold it up at the end, and it just, like, she's dwarfed by it. Because she's tiny to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's standing there with it, and it's like half her body. So she's not going to be walking around with this gigantic title that's almost ridiculously huge, and then the women's title. She's got the ring and she's got the women's title, and that's fine. So not going to complain about that at all.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have LA Knight taking on Andrade and Carmelo Hayes for the United States Championship.
It was
fine.
This
was good. It was a match.
It was acceptable. It just was a match. Andrade's really good. Carmelo's really good. LA Knight's really good. They had a good match. LA Knight retained his title. There wasn't anything memorable that stood out to me from the match, but I enjoyed it.
It was a very good offering for the title. It was, you have three of these people involved. They're very talented. They're very good. I don't have, like, really any complaints about this at all. So, it was a solid match, and in the end, LA Knight wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. It was good to see them get featured on the show, because we haven't seen Carmelo and Andrade on a PLE in a while. And they delivered. It was a good, solid match.
So with that, we move on to discuss the main event of the evening. Cody Rhodes, your undisputed SmackDown champion, taking on Gunther, the Raw heavyweight champion, for the inaugural WWE Crown Jewel Men's Championship. This was so good.
It was good. I enjoyed it. It wasn't great, though.
No, it wasn't.
We talked about it Sunday. While fighting for the Crown Jewel Championship is good and important, when you have the two top champions fighting, one of the titles, for, especially for the first time them fighting, you would want to see a title, a main championship on the line and have it be of significance on a big stage. Well, Crown Jewel is a fine event. It is not a SummerSlam. It's not a Royal Rumble. It's not a Survivor Series. It's not even, it's not a WrestleMania. And when the two of them fight, it should have been on that show. Did the match deliver? Yeah. Did Gunther call his shot by trying to put Cody to sleep? He did. Did it backfire in the end? Yes. I just wish there was something more at stake other than the Crown Jewel Championship, which is just a... if you look at King of Ring, King of Ring matches are good, but they're never outstanding because it's like, it's the King of Ring. King of Ring leads to something bigger. These two should have been on a bigger stage with more on the line than the Crown Jewel Championship. For the people in the building, this was perfect because it's a championship for them. They saw it. They got to see a big match and it delivered. But what it was missing was the true emotion of someone having something. So, the way I put it Sunday is there was something to win, but neither man had nothing to lose. And when you have people like Gunther and Cody, something to lose makes the match even bigger.
Yeah.
It makes there a little bit more emotional storytelling in the match. And neither coming out of it, neither man was losing anything. The winner got the championship, got the ring, but it wasn't anything of significance. It's not leading to somewhere. They go back their separate ways, and Gunther will fight Damian, and Cody will fight somebody coming up. So that's kind of where it was at. But the match was good, but it wasn't great. And I think there was a lot of expectations based on the Royal Rumble encounter for it to be great.
I think they held back for something bigger. It was memorable enough, and it was enjoyable enough, and it was good enough that it's like, yes, it leaves you wanting for more, and that could be the plan. But if you're not going to go to it for a while, I feel like they could have maybe done just a tad bit more, not to criticize, but to criticize, to really sort of like whet your appetite that it's like, we have to find a way to get Cody and Gunther on the same show. Like, we have to do this. We have to find a way, right? And so, like, it was good. It was entertaining, like you said. It was for the people in Saudi Arabia. It wasn't necessarily for us. It was people in Saudi Arabia because it's their title. But the fact that the stakes weren't there didn't necessarily help. Like, it was more of an exhibition than it was anything else. But it was still very good. Like, yeah. I think when we get that, like, the stakes involved where it's a title or it's something else, I don't know what else could be. But, I think it will be better because it will mean more. Because that was like the other part of this feud was they did a really good job of like talking between Cody and Gunther. But it's like Gunther's like, well, you're a secondary champion. And Cody's like, F you. And they're like, okay, let's fight. Like the match was always like pre-planned. It was never like, well, we're going to build to Cody and Gunther. It's just, nah, you two are going to fight because you both have a title. So go fight. So there wasn't as much of a build with it. Like they still did a very good job with the build. But the drama and everything else wasn't fully there.
There was nothing to lose. There was only something to gain.
So when we get it, it will be excellent.
Hopefully, yeah.
We hope and we pray. But with that, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
It does do it for us here live for the rack. Stay tuned here live on twitch.tv/TheBitchyLive. We're going to finish up the podcast. And then we're going to play Fortnite for about an hour or so. Playing Fortnite Reload, the brand new Reload map, because that just dropped. So we're going to check that out coming up in just a moment. Brent will be joining us, so he's en route. He's almost home. So hopefully he'll make it here shortly. But that'll do it for us. Saturday night, 11:30, CB Radio live. We're going to do some stuff, figuring that out. So there you go. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're all posted live Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. I'm going to be distracted next week, but we'll figure out something to do. We'll talk about it. We'll do a thing, because Eagles play next Thursday, apparently. So that's going to be fun.
Do you just not want to do a show, and you just watch the football game?
We may do that. We'll figure that out. We'll see how the week goes. But coming up next, we'll be Fortnite content. But tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. And you can use curry code Rockasock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
because we are hashtag epic partners. And just for the record, you know, if we do do a show, they won't win or lose if you don't watch. You know, it'll be like the Phillies in the playoffs. But maybe I should watch since I'm the number one Eagles fan, right? Like, I'm their good luck charm. I'm their lucky charm. He's not going to yell at me. Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/@somelynnsward. You can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And yeah, I think I hit all my socials. I don't know. Just look up Lynn's Ward. You'll find me. You can, while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to youtube.com/MBGfilms. God damn it!
youtube.com/MBG1211. Check it out. Subscribe, like things, all the fun stuff. Fortnite content coming up next. Live.
It's MBG. I'm looking at something else. I'm watching the football game.
Yeah.
Anyway, go, like, it's been a lot of years, Matt. Anyway, like, subscribe, follow, do all the things. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to end the rack, and then we're going to wait for Brent to get here, and then we're going to play Fortnite. Because yay, Fortnite sweat mode! So you can listen to the rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and if you're live, we'll be right back. But if you're not, bye!
Wildtalkradio.com.